Some of you will already say, well, I've heard you say some of this before, but some of you are new to the church, so I want to repeat this. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was that our church was introduced to Tom. I know it was when we were in the building down on the corner of Thomas and Illinois, so that's a long time ago. And I was introduced to Tom by, some of you remember Peter Greenhow. Peter had been his pastor up in the Illinois area and was telling me about this young man who had started memorizing God's word and shared it with churches from memorization and from his heart. And he asked me if I wanted to have Tom come. And quite frankly, in my mind, I thought nothing could be more boring than to listen to somebody do that. And eventually Peter came to me and he says, well, I guess you don't want to have Tom come, do you? Which at that point really guilted me. And I said, sure, let's have him come. And so there probably couldn't have been a more dubious pastor that Sunday as Tom was scheduled to speak at our church. And I'll never forget what he shared with us from memory the very first time. And it was Jonah. And I remember that day there was a stool sitting on the platform and I looked up, and if you know me, it was out of place, and I'm standing there, sitting there going, what is that stool doing there? And Tom started doing Jonah, and in the first 30 seconds, he had me, because it wasn't boring. It was the most engaging presentation I've ever heard of the scripture from memory. And then when he gets to, and Jonah went and sat under the juniper tree, he sat on that stool. And I said, Lord, that's why that stool was sitting there. And it has been a blessing to my heart, and I hope it will be a blessing to your heart as Tom shares with us God's word. And one of the things I appreciate about Tom is you can tell he believes from the core of his being that the Bible's the word of God. And you'll notice that as he shares God's word with us today. This is truth. Tom, Lord bless you as you come.
Thank you very much. Well, in Cooperstown, New York, we have the Major League Baseball, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Go White Sox. Looks like the Rockies are going to take the title from us as the worst team ever this year, so that's good. And in Canton, Ohio, you have the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Go Bears. And then, of course, in Massachusetts, you have the Basketball Hall of Fame. I would say go Bulls, but I'm in Indiana, so we'll go Pacers. Took it home last night, and now you guys get to watch the NBA Finals, which is awesome. It very rarely comes to your state, so it's going to be fun. Well, besides these earthly tabernacles or shrines, these Hall of Fames, besides these, exceedingly abundantly better than these is what we call the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith, exactly. And it's in Hebrews chapter 11. The word faith is used over 25 times in that chapter. And what I'd like to do, just for the next half hour or so, don't worry, the roast won't burn. We're not going to be late. Everything will be fantastic. We're going to use Hebrews 11 as an outline, and I'm going to tell you that Old Testament saints acted faith, and then I'll go back to the Old Testament. I wish I had more time, because Jews don't call it Old Testament. I lived in the old Israel for 1,000 days. They call it the Tanakh. It's different. I'll go back to the Old Testament and then tell you the saints' account in full or part. And we'll just work back and forth between Hebrews 11 and the Old Testament, weaving together this beautiful tapestry of what it looks like in real life to have faith in the living God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared to himself an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowl of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. The height of it, 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee shall I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh. Two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kinds. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according unto all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, the male and his female. And the beasts that are not clean by twos, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Let's go to our next example of faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham was tested. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and they rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and the knife, and laid them both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order, found Isaac his son, laid him on the altar on the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, behold, here am I! And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of the son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, if not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we'll stop there. Let's go to our next example of faith. The parents of Moses. By faith. Moses. Do we have a baby here by any chance? Can we have one? Can we get one? Mrs. Osborne? Can we try? No? We're not doing it? Okay. You never do animals and kids, they say up front. It's just you never know what's going to happen. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died. And all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also armed to our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to put them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Boom. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, mortar, brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live.
But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And Pharaoh called the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively. And are delivered before the midwives can come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall pass into the river. But every daughter, you shall save alive. And there went a man in the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein and laid him among the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to see what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself by the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her,
go.
And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. Let's go to our next example of faith. We'll do two or three more and we'll be done. Moses himself, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he flew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when it was come out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, why did it hurt your brother? And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. And Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs and watered the father's flocks. But the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today, my daughters? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered our flocks. And he said, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man?
Call him that he may eat bread.
And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land.
And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, Moses kept the flock. Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, do not come any closer. Remove the shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them, to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have surely seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, and thou hast brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. You shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me to you. One more example and we'll be done. One more example. The faith of a woman who could raise her child from the dead. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according unto my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But it came to pass after a while that the brook had dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he said,
and bring me a cake that I may eat. And she said, and not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil of the cruse, and I'm going to dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, go and make for me first, and afterwards you can make for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. But it came to pass after a while that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no spirit left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what do I have to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my son to remembrance and to slay my son? And Elijah said unto her, give me the child. And he took him up and brought him up into his loft where he had grown and laid him on his bed, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And he prayed unto Yahweh and said, Yahweh, I pray thee, let the soul of this child come into him again. And God hearkened to the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. And Elijah brought him down to his mother and said, see, thy son liveth. And she said, now by this I know that thou art the man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. We heard the example of faith of Noah. We heard the example of faith of Abraham, of the parents of Moses, and of Moses, and of the widow woman. 5 examples of faith. I haven't seen some of you lately. So let me tell you quickly as we end here, some application, how this looks in real life, having faith in the living God. 3 quick examples. Number one, about 20 years ago, I was in college and my undergrad in California. I wanted to go to the furthest, I grew up right outside of Chicago in Wheaton. And I wanted to go to the farthest away Baptistic Bible College in America at the best price. It just so happened to be California. Let's go. So on the way out, I started memorizing some chapters of scripture and some portions of scripture. And I'm praying the whole time I'm there. Will you please let me witness to a king? If you do it, if you open that door for me to witness to a king, I will do it. Okay? See, in the past, the training pastor knows this, because my friend's job, our job growing up in high school would be to stalk athletes and celebrities and get their autographs and sell them. So I'm really good at walking up to, you know, people you're not supposed to and asking them for things. Okay? I'm good at it. Okay? So 5 or 8 years later, of all places, I wake up one morning and I'm in Israel because I went to school there. And I was part of an evangelism campaign with Jews for Jesus. So this is before the plague came and shut everything down. Okay? Right before the plague came, Jews for Jesus, for 8 or 10 years, was through 12 campaigns, we've covered the whole land of Israel with the gospel. The whole land. Saturated it. Okay? So on this day, we're at the spring. The exact X marks the spot where Gideon was given his 300 men. Do you remember that in Judges? And I have a giant bullseye on it. It says, come beat me up in Hebrew. It says, Jews for Jesus. Lamani Yehudim Yeshua. And I only pretty ladies can wear yellow. I can't wear yellow. I just can't do it. Doesn't look good on guys. Okay? And I'm wearing this bullseye, this big yellow shit, you know. And everyone's avoiding me like the plague. Like, man, Lord God, what are you doing? Why are we here? And then I turn around, and then this massive security force barrels through with the king in tow, the president. Said, huh, this is it. Here we go. So I waited till he just showed up unannounced to cut a ribbon for an Arab-Jewish kid bike race. Once he did that and the movie cameras were gone, I didn't want to make it a spectacle, I didn't. I went with the bullseye and a New Testament, put a Shalom weapon in my hand. I go under the security fence and right through the Secret Service and the detail, spin up there, and there he is. Mr. President, are you one of the founding fathers of the state? It's amazing. Can I tell you why we're here? And I told him Isaiah 53 from memory. All right. Told him the gospel, gave him the New Testament, and he took it. Faith. Like, are you asking to do things like that? Am I asking again to do things like that? No. We should be, but we're not. When's the last time you said, give me the opportunity to share the gospel with the mayor of Fort Wayne? Have you done that? Leaders, right? These kind of things. What are we doing? Number two, here's a fun one. So we're still in California, and that week, Pastor knows this, that week I'm reading the book Autobiography by your friend of mine, Chuck Norris. It tells how he came to faith and all these kind of things, and like, oh, that's wonderful. I'd like to meet him one day. And I'm reading, oh, he lives part of the year in Chester, California. Cool. Hey, honey, this is when we lived in our trailer still. Honey, guess what? We're speaking next to Chuck Norris's house this weekend at a real live at an Indian ranch. Like, you know. So we go up, we speak at the Indian ranch, do the Book of Revelation from memory to like 12 people, it doesn't matter, right? And we're headed home, and I'm like, well, let's just stop in Chester, because I'm good at what I do, you know? So stopping at the first place, Happy Garden Chinese restaurant. Well, hey, everybody. I can't remember. Can you tell me where Chuck Norris's address is again? Oh, it's at 312 Juniper Street. Oh, that's right. Thanks. So they give me the address, and we pull up to Chuck Norris's house. And my wife, we have a two-year-old with us, and Sarah was very pregnant with Scarlett. Walk up to the door. She's wearing shoes. Don't worry. Okay. Walk up to the door. And you would have no idea that a movie star lived here. Like, it's a normal house. Pull it up. Walk up to the front door, ding dong, his wife answers. I know I have 30 seconds to do or die. I know how it works. So thankfully we were in the newspaper at the next town over, and I showed them that this is really us. We're doing the Book of Revelation from memory. We love your husband's dot, dot, dot. We think you're great, et cetera. And then I looked down and my oldest, Hosanna, had ran inside Chuck Norris's house by that time to attack his dog, Samson. Okay, so we go inside, extract her. And he comes out, and they were phenomenal. Spent half the day with them. They send us support. They're great. That's a little thing. But we'll finish with this big thing. Like, what are we asking Jesus to do? By faith, that only God can do. That's what the ball I want you to pick up here and run out of here with. Have something that you can pray this week that he can do, that only he can do. Last year, May. Last year, May, I'll make it short. Last year, May, was speaking to the troops in Florida. Okay? Speaking to the troops, you can sit down up here. Speaking to the troops in Florida, and all of a sudden, she went 100% blind. Blind as Saul on the way to Damascus. 100% blind, out of nowhere. We don't know what we're working with. We don't know what we're doing. This just came out of, it was a very, very, very rare autoimmune disorder that no one knows she had that just manifests itself. At that time, it could have manifested itself by attacking her brain or her spine, but it attacked her eyes. The cords that connect your brain to your eyeballs became super swollen and she couldn't see, she was blind. So we get home, go to the eye doctor. Sorry, you better go to Cincinnati Children's Hospital now. And that's one of the reasons why God brought us. We live in Northern Kentucky. And one of the reasons he brought us here was so we could be there for that hospital. We bring her into the hospital. They do every test under the sun. She's already been blind a week. They're like, this is such a new thing. We don't know anything about it. There's nothing we could do but give you two steroids and call you in the morning. That's it. Well, all I need is him. And a little medicine helps too sometimes. The next day she wakes up and her vision was 100% restored. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't. He does it how he does it. What are you asking him to do? Then we're playing, please take it from her. You can come up here. Please take it away from her so it never comes back again. So we go to the doctor like 3 months ago or something like that, do a blood check. They take her blood, the autoimmune disorder that could make her go blind or never walk again. Jesus took it from her blood. It's gone. It's gone from her blood. See, he can do these things. But you don't receive because you do not ask. And sometimes we ask and do not receive because we ask amiss that we may spend it on our pleasures, you adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God, and we don't want to be his enemy.
We want to be his friend. So we took her back, gone completely. And he'll never return again, God willing. These are the kind of things, right, that, why don't you say a song real quick and we'll get out of here. You can close it. Go ahead. Whatever number you want.
Oh, Yahweh, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes, your nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of, and the son of man that you may visit him?
Pause. He has made us a little lower than the angels. We just heard it from her mouth. He's crowned you with glory and honor. So act like it. Look like it. Talk like it. Think and practice like it. And start asking for things that only he can do. Amen?
Amen.
You can sit down, sweetie.
Love you.
Ditto. Love you too. Anyways, our house is a blessed house, and we're missionaries, and we need your support. We've had the worst year in our ministry's history, not because of us, just because of everything. So we need your help and your prayers. We really do. One way you can support us and support yourself is these phenomenal verse-by-verse-by-verse commentaries that are available in the back. It goes through all of Genesis, all of Exodus, all of Leviticus, all of Numbers, all of Deuteronomy, all that. All of Psalms, all of Proverbs, every single verse is clearly explained. You should get them. Second is this big, beautiful coffee table book. It's very pretty. It has 50 gorgeous pictures and shows all these famous archaeological objects that have been discovered under the sands of time that prove thy word is truth. So this is one way to help us. Another way to help us is when we receive up an offering for our ministry. We come by faith. We love you. And pray that you would bless us as well. Thank you so much. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
Thank you. God bless you. Pastor.
You've never clapped like that for me as I've come to the podium. Thank you for clapping for me. We're not supposed to steal somebody else's glory. You know, I just want to remind you, when we came to the end of 1 Kings 17, the testimony of the widow, the word of the Lord is truth. Haven't we been reminded of that today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, and then we're going to take a love offering for Tom. Lord, thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It is living, it is active, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And in it are the words of life. In it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are sinners, that we deserve judgment, that we are separated from you. But a Savior, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, stepped into time and space, died for us so that we might be forgiven and we might live with you eternally. We thank you for that. Thank you for Tom and his family. Thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives. Just ask that this offering would be a blessing to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a closing benediction. The Lord is faithful, who will strengthen you and keep you from the evil one. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love God has for you and into the steadfastness Christ gives you. You are dismissed.